Fannie and Freddie Keep Falling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. The annual Federal Reserve Symposium kicks off today in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. No doubt Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac will be a major topic. The two have had an epically bad week. Their stock prices are now worth less than 10% of what they were a year ago. And investors are worried the mortgage giants won't be able to stay solvent and will have to be bailed out by the government. Fannie and Freddie are involved in about half the home loans in this country. The Dow Jones Industrial Average did finish in the black yesterday, adding about 0.6%, but overseas markets are down today. London's FTSE is off 0.7%. The Shanghai Composite Index was down 3.5%. Oil is back up a bit today, around $116 a barrel. That's very bad news for airlines. They've been slammed by high fuel costs and have been looking for new ways to make money. American Airlines just rolled out internet service on some of its planes. For about $13, passengers can surf to their heart's content, but it's going to take a lot more than email to help the airline industry. The International Air Transport Association, or IATA, says the global aviation industry is likely to lose more than $6 billion this year. From London, Stephen Beard has more.
26 airlines around the world went out of business or into bankruptcy protection in the first half of this year. That's a higher rate of failure than in the aftermath of 9/11. IATA is bracing itself for more trouble. A further dozen carriers are thought to be on the brink of going bust. All regions are under pressure. Even China and India are seeing a slowdown. IATA's spokesman, Lorne Riley.
What we have is a perfect storm. Rising record-level oil prices and a global economic slowdown that is slowing traffic growth. Together, it spells a gloomy picture for airlines around the world.
IATA says there is a way out of the crisis. More carriers should be allowed to merge, an argument that many governments and regulators are resisting. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Airlines aren't the only ones scrimping these days. Shoppers are pinching their pennies as well. Sales are down at luxury stores like Saks Fifth Avenue, but discounters' earnings are up. As Nancy Marshall Genzer reports, this season, less really is more.
Even hipsters are being squeezed by high gas and food prices, so they have less to spend on clothes. They're telling luxury retailers to take a hike, leaving a lot of sad sacks behind. Nordstrom isn't doing too well either. MKM Partners analyst Patrick McKeever says people still want top brands, but at a discount.
People understand that prices are going to be significantly cheaper at TJ Maxx than they will be at Macy's.
McKeever says Ross and TJ Maxx offer the same brands department stores have at discounts of 20 to 60%. Saks and Nordstrom are reporting lower sales. Retail Metrics President Ken Perkins says that's because even the rich are hurting.
We've seen a significant number of layoffs on the street, and you know the stock market's been really volatile.
But don't feel too sorry for Saks and Nordstrom. Perkins says high-end consumers tend to recover from tough times faster than the rest of us. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And Microsoft is hoping to get a leg up in these tough times with a new ad campaign. The software giant wants to counter the hugely successful Mac versus PC ads.
Hello, I'm a Mac.
My fellow Americans, I'm a PC.
Why so official?
Well, some people are giving up on Vista Mac because it doesn't work the way they want it to.
Those ads have hurt Vista's image, and the operating system business accounts for more than a quarter of Microsoft's revenue. Now the company is hoping Jerry Seinfeld can add some cool to its brand. The Wall Street Journal reports Seinfeld will get about $10 million to appear in a series of ads.
I think you may have something here.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com.
The U.S. takes on Brazil for the gold medal in Olympic women's soccer today. But many Africans are already looking to the next big global soccer event, the 2010 World Cup. South Africa will host the tournament, and it's hoping the event will spur economic growth. Gretchen Wilson has more from Soweto, South Africa.
Construction crews are in overdrive here, building the stadium that will host the World Cup final.
So what does a neighborhood that was created under apartheid to house Johannesburg's millions of black residents? It was once known for its shanty towns, but it's increasingly middle class.
Okay, let's come up.
On this quiet cul-de-sac, you can find the Sutukazi Bed and Breakfast.
Welcome to our living room.
Dumisani Mazibuko and his wife Mavis started this guest house as soon as South Africa won the bid to host the championship. They've attended to every detail, lace curtains and African sculptures. They're already getting a few guests from overseas, but they're really banking on 2010.
Oh, the money making. We're going to share amongst the whole family. Everyone is going to benefit out of this.
South Africa says the World Cup will pump about $3 billion into an economy that remains extremely divided, even 14 years after apartheid ended. A quarter of the population remains unemployed. Thabo Masemola is with a regional tourism board. He says the tournament will create up to 200,000 short and long-term jobs, providing real opportunity for some black families.
To provide food, to take their kids to schools or to universities, the impacts of this will be really far-reaching.
It already reaches to a fast-expanding infrastructure. Cranes tower over South Africa's cities, building world-class airports and speed trains. But power shortages and labor disputes have slowed construction, and the rising cost of steel and other materials is driving up costs. Tournament officials say they have a plan B if the African country isn't ready in time, but South Africa insists it will pull it off. Danny Jordan is head of the local organizing committee. He says there's more at stake than just economic growth.
A successful delivery of the World Cup will help us to finally bring the glue to bind both black and white in this country.
Jordan says it'll cement South Africa's national unity and prove to the world that Africa's ready to compete in the global economy. In Soweto, South Africa, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.